Vattupam Sutta, simile of the cloth. Thus have I heard, once the blessed one who staying at Savatthi, in Jetha's grove, Anath Bindika's monastery, there he addressed the monks thus, "Monks, venerable sir," they replied, the blessed one said this, "Monks, suppose a cloth was stained and dirty, and a dyer dipped it in some dye or other, whether blue or yellow or red or pink, it would take the dye badly and be impure in color. And why is that? Because the cloth was not clean. So too, monks, when the mind is defiled, an unhappy destination in a future existence may be expected. Monks, suppose the cloth were clean and bright and a dye dipped it in some dye or other, whether blue or yellow or red or pink, it would take the dye well and be pure in color. And why is that? Because the cloth was clean. So too, monks, when the mind is undefiled, a happy destination in future existence may be expected." And it's written in, within bracket, in future, well, while you are living also, you have the happy, living, if you practice this dharma. And what, monks, are the defilements of the mind? These are upaklesha, the defilements of the mind. Covetousness and unrighteous greed are a defilement of the mind. Ill will is a defilement of the mind, vyapada. Anger is a defilement of the mind. Krodha, hostility, is a defilement of the mind. So, this first, there is this anger, and then later, there is grudging. Denigration, the previous one is upanaha, and the next one is the denigration, makko.
Is there any difference between klesha and upaklesha in a relationship, or it is same?
Well, the upaklesha, these things lead to the big ones. For example, if you say abhijja, that leads to lobha. So the lobha is the biggest one. Yeah, this one is this sort of a seed that lead to that. Yeah, and so denigration or makko is that it is this to attack the character or reputation of another. Speak ill of that person because I'm actually jealous about this that he got something, and I want to make it down. It's his quality, as we will discuss in a minute. Domineering is palaso in Pali. So over here, one having been born low, he consider himself equal to those born high. So this result in disparaging others. So someone, even it could be a monk, who was actually poor and sort of thing, and that person became a monk. And then say king also renounced, and king become a monk. So this person is now thinking that he's the same as me. So he's actually taking the other person's qualities down and making it equal. The thing is a monk, so there is no such thing that all our mind made, that I am high, I am low, and sort of thing. But this thinking is the problem. It's created the problem for him. And envy is, I would translate it as sort of jealous, for example. The irsha, that not tolerating others' gain, that why did he get it? I should have it, but why he's getting, sort of thing. And next on, 8 is, I would translate it as stinginess rather than the jealousy. It's machiriya. And it's the meanness. Another word is meanness. Meanness can be meanness concerning dwellings, regarding family, kula. It can be regarding the gain, and it can be regarding the reputation and or the doctrine. So there are 5 things that one can get stinginess. That means this particular thing, I want it for myself. you know, don't let anybody else have it. It could be a certain furniture that you brought into your house, and therefore you have the stinginess that, you know, let it be clean, protected, even a small child coming in to write something on it, then you, let's say, take the child out and sort of protect, right? And again you do that sort of thing for the your house, your property, you know, that the other person is coming to take the fence, you know, to you go into the defendance of these things because of this stinginess, that this is mine, you know, I protect it and hold it. So the other one is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the it is sort of, if you look at the English word, it's the practice of professing beliefs, feelings, or virtues that one does not hold, or that possesses. He does not hold it, but he have this. It's called Maya, or relative in Sinhala, Maya. And remember that we discussed this Angana when we were a month ago also. So there you can see that I have craving for something, let's say food or something, and then I go through a path, I go through the second path in that diagram also. And then you will have this, the anger. So example, a monk, he has fallen to an offense. Then he thinks, let the other bhikkhu, let them know about it. He wants to hide it, right? That means he does not possess this quality, and he wants to hide it. So then they lead it to, so you can see he's holding one place, having done that bad thing. And when other people know about it, monks will come to know about it, and then he get angry. So because I'm holding to something, a quality that I do not have, and then when the other come to know that, I become angry. The next one is fraud, sateyam, Pali. And so that one is also, fraud is creating this this uplesha. Obstinacy, tambo. This is that inflexibility of consciousness. It's a mental rigidity. It can happen if you think that the husband and wife is fighting at home, that most of the time this tambo is working, because that one is actually saying that I want this, right? The other person is saying, well, this is harming me and harming, you know, the something like that. And so the other person is insisting that you do this, and this person is thinking that this is harming. So there are two things working side by side. So since the one person is saying, I want this in a, you know, greater way, that it leads to the mental stiffness is very rigid. He's making this one so strong, and he's not bending. The other person is thinking that it is harming me, this particular thing is harming me, and he is rigid from the anger. One other person is rigid from the craving. So you can see that none of them are giving up. So the consciousness that constructed has got this rigidity. And next one is the presumption, Saramba in Pali. And that normally happens because of the arrogance. If someone is arrogant, you should understand that we all are arrogant in some way or the other. And so this is the behavioral language that is boldly arrogant, that you express it or you show it from your body that I am arrogant, you know, sort of way. So that is presumption. The next one is the conceit, mano. We will discuss conceit in a little while. And then there is this, the arrogance, or atimano. Atimano is that excessive conceit, that here a certain one by birth, or by clan, or by good family, or by one reason or another, consider himself above others. So this is the desire of consciousness for a banner. That's what it is written. Desire of consciousness for a banner. He says, like a company has got a banner, like that one. So there is a desire for the consciousness. You know that the if you look at that diagram, there's these nutriments. And so there is a desire for the consciousness as well. Now you are actually labeling the consciousness in a certain way when you have this arrogance. The vanity, or madhu, is pride. Here also we will probably see that one first. These things are explained in Abhidhamma Pitaka. So first we will look at what is called pride of clan. You know that everybody got some sort of clan. So what's the pride of clan? Depending on clan, depending on health, depending on youth, depending on life, depending on gain, depending on being honored, depending on being respected, depending on prominence, depending on having adherence, depending on wealth, depending on appearance, depending on intelligence, depending on being knowledgeable authority, depending on being arms collector, depending on being not despised, depending on posture, accomplishment, popularity, moral, jhana, depending on being tall. If someone is tall, that is getting this thing as well. Depending on the bodily proportion, depending on form, depending on perfection, there is pride, being proud, state of being proud. So all these things, you know, that one become proud about these things. There was one man who was tall, very tall, and got a big body. So he was proud of this body, and then he went to the Buddha. So Buddha make up a big body himself. So this man is now looking at Buddha's body, oh, he's big, you know, so so that his pride is gone now. And so he was listening to the Dhamma. So this is the pride, so the pride of clan. So you can see include quite a lot of things. And therein, what is pride? That which is pride, being proud, state of being proud, conceit, being conceited, state of being conceited. All those things are included in the pride category. Now, the last one is the negligence. It's pamadu. This is a defilement. It is that by wrong bodily, wrong verbal or wrong mental action, or the succumbing and repeated succumbing of consciousness to the five stands of sense pleasures, or not working carefully. That is meaning by negligence. So if someone is continuously subject to these five stands of sense pleasures, and wrong bodily actions, verbal actions and mental actions, so that leads to the negligence, or negligence on the vishya. So, having look at that, let's go back to that diagram. It would be good if you have a sort of a pen or pencil to write down, because there are a couple of things I could not write on that diagram. And, well, first of all, I must respect my teacher, Sampati Mahabrahma, who taught me about this diagram this morning. This is constructed under Sampati Mahabrahma's guidance. Completely, I have no way of constructing this sort of thing on my own. It's the very well laid out, is pure Dhamma. And he has great wisdom, he's an Arahant. And so you can see that this there are four nutriments, physical nutriments, so kablikara ahara. And the second one is contact as nutriment, the pasa ahara. The third one is the mental volition. The fourth one is the consciousness as nutriment. So I'm reading the first row of that diagram. So what is happening with the nutriment? You can see the physical nutriment. We have always, we have contact with these things. Let's say once having a contact, you would eat it. So normally you should see this diagram is first go from, starting from the leftmost corner, that the top corner, physical nutriment, going across first. So you get the contact, perception, mental volition, and then the consciousness is constructed. That's how you should read this one. And having done that one, having perceived, then you go through these lines as you wish, the way you like it. For example, that the one who is actually clinging to these things, that he would normally go through the first line, and most of us go through that one. But someone can go into that third line as well, going down, because of his things, because, you know, some people who disparage things, whatever thing they see, that, oh, well, this is useless and so on, so they might go in the third line, going down.
That means, this, when we go through the first line of the problem, we stop somewhere we like.
Depending on your qualities because that the volitional formation, sanskara, it constructs the things the way you like. So depending on your, you know, the way you have behaved and constructed before, then it can lead to any one of these things. But I can assure you, wherever you go, but you are going back to the first one with or without knowing, because there are branches from the bottom of this page. Right? That, for example, if you get the avijja, ignorance, then you are going back to the other side, the first path. So it's a loop. I haven't drawn all the lines here because it's very complicated to draw all those things.
For example, now with the, when we start with physical instrument, but we most likely tend to go to the feeling, because we get the feeling from the food.
Yep.
And in the feeling part, and that is the most attractive for any person, and then he get the second sting from there and go forward whatever he
has. That's right. Exactly. He can split into three. That feeling can split into three. The pleasurable, the displeasure, and the neutral. So the pleasure one is going back to the physical nutriment part. You know, the displeasure one going into the second line below. And the third one, the neutral one, you will go into the third and the fourth. That's how one would behave. So feeling is a key. Now, if you go going down the first line, down below you can see the first column, physical nutriment, and then you will normally get this perversion, which I have removed from this one because of it's getting crowded. So there is this perversion that it is fair while it is foul. The food is disgusting thing, but we actually say it is fair. And the other people's body also foul, but we say it's fair. So because of that one, there is this sensual desire clinging, no kama upadana. I hold these things thoroughly, grasp these things. So because of the sensual desire, there is this the flood of sensual desire. There is this abhijja in the middle, that I am thoroughly holding these things, and there is a body tie of covetousness over there. And that leads to the flood of sensual desire. And that flood of sensual desire leads to the barb of lust, the raga sal. So it is so strong. It is so strong. And when you have the barb of lust, then you are going back to the physical nutriment itself, because it holds, going round the circle. So this is so good, I keep on eating like that one. So it is keep on, if you are pursuing someone, you keep on pursuing that person in that sense, whatever thing it is. In the second column, you can see this contact as nutriment, that as Padmasita said, that there is this feeling and perception, all those things are generated there. And then there is this virtue and duty clinging. So over here, in between, there is this perversion that it is pleasurable while it is suffering. We pursue it that way, wrongly pursue. So virtue and duty clinging is that you are saying it is good now because this food is good, and this my family is okay, and my car is okay, everything is okay, and then I hold the future. I hold the future that so if it is good now, then the tomorrow will be good as well. If I eat this food now and it is good, that I will eat tomorrow, like that, you hold the future. And when you hold the future, you sometimes hold it very thoroughly, in the sense that, okay, now it is good. And then you see someone is further good, you know, that he is actually, he got, if you got one vehicle, he got five vehicles, a king or someone, you know, that, so he is thinking, oh, how come he become a king? And then you hear the Dhamma that this by virtue and all those things, they are born in that one. And then you hear this divine being someone have a much pleasurable life, and they because of the virtue. And then you cling to virtue, not to attain Nibbana. What you want is to have such a luxury life. And then, so there is this duty clinging as well. Duty clinging is, this is Silabhata Padana over here, that this one has got two parts. One would actually think that by having virtue that I would be attaining Nibbana. So it's a wrong view again. And the other view is that by doing this sort of thing, I'll be born in such and such a divine, with such and such a divine realm. So I will be dancing, singing and all those things with the, you know, the divine beings and that sort of thing. And there is a link from this virtue and duty clinging to this, Vyapada, Kaya Grantha, which I have dropped over here. I haven't written that one. It is going down in that one. There's an arrow. And there is this flood of existence, Bhava Oga, that it is like, now this is, I want to exist. In whatever cost, I want to exist. And that one leads to Bhava of hate. Why it leads to Bhava of hate, and the, why it is this ill will things come to arise? You can see that I was thinking that when I was eating and things like that, one, when my family is good, that everything will last. I'll be happier, you know, that this food I can eat tomorrow, but supermarket may not stock it anymore, right? And, you have a house, beautiful and all those things, and all of a sudden, earthquake or something taken place and it's broken. Then you're angry. Whatever thing you hold, because of the impermanent nature, it does not stay like that. So then you would get angry.
Right. The flood of existence is open here. It is probably you have missed the line from top to the.
Yeah, that's what I was telling. Because I want to explain the other ones, I deliberately left it down out from the diagram. So it's there is arrow from top to the bottom. The flood of existence, the barb of hate. So, when you have the barb of hate or the dosa salla, that means it's going to, the next step in this diagram would be the consciousness will hold the feeling. Because the feeling is the one led to this condition, then I will hold into this feeling. And so that is the second diagram. I haven't explained these defilements over here. I will come back to it. And then the third line you can see, third column, there's a mental volition as nutriment, and you can see now that I have seen, I have eaten food, I have sort of, I had contact about it, and having got that contact, that there is this feeling generated, and that feeling I pursued as pleasure, and therefore there is this mental volition. And that volition, lead to this my-making. With the first part of the diagram, you can see that between view-clinging and volition, there is this tiny box I would like to write as a my-making. This, it is self. While it is not self, I perceive as self. And then it goes down to this flood of views, so that I'm clinging to these views very heavily, and then it becomes bigger and bigger, grow, and then there's flood of views. Because of flood of views, that I'm having this I-making, ahinkar. You can see in this diagram, in the top part there is my-making, in the third column, and the bottom part there is I-making, which I haven't actually written down over here again. It's called ahinkara. So when you have the bab of views, how did I get this view? I got this view from perception. That the perception is the linking over here. because of the perception I have this view, so therefore I am holding to the perception. So it's again looping with the perception. So we can, the first column you can say it's looping back to the physical nutriment, and then the second column it is looping back to the feeling. And the third column it is looping back to the perception. And that one lead to this consciousness as nutriment. So because the volitional formations would construct this vijnana ahara, or the consciousness as nutriment, so there will be this, I think now it is permanent. I get the perception that it is permanent. While it is impermanent, then there is the self-theory clinging. And there is flood of ignorance. So, now you can see in the second, so the line one that I have written, there should be small box, abhijja. There is ill will in the third one. So the first one, there should be something called abhijja, if you want to mark it over there. Abhijja is between the clinging to sensual desire and the plant of sensual desire. So, because I have abhijja, that means I am holding to this nutriment, you know, the food, for example, or a person, and or maybe my job, and I see someone else getting the job, or someone getting promoted or something. And see that in the second line, second column, that you put the ill will somehow in the middle. And because of the ill will, I have this isha or envy. I do not like that he is getting it. Why didn't I get it? I should get it. He shouldn't get it. So how do I get that sort of thought? Because of my view. Remember, in the third column, I am doing that my making. I am doing my making. That this is mine. The food is mine. The person is mine. The job is mine. Everything is mine. But you see that it is someone else is getting, so I am envy. So this view is very important to understand. This view is the one creating this thinking. If you don't have this view that is happening in the third column, you would not be thinking this way. It's called manopavichara, or the mental rambling. This mental rambling occurs because of my view, that I am thinking that it is mine. And he got it. So I am jealous. What would I do? I would be telling other people, he doesn't deserve it. I am the one qualified. He doesn't deserve it. That leads to something called makko, the derogation. You can see in the between the third and the fourth column, there is something called derogation. That I speak ill of that person. I want to take it away from him. So it's called makko. Makko is that I'm taking, you know, wrong of that person to take it down. So you can see how our mind works over here. You know, I got the ill, I want, abhijja is there. I want this, but he got it. And I am jealous, and then I want to tell others about it. So that actually to your own speech as well, doing this. Now, so I am focusing now on two terms. That one is envy, and the makko I was considering. The next two terms are the stinginess of machariya and the disparaging on the other side. The stinginess is that, remember that how the Mahanidana Sutta that we discussed sometimes ago, we were talking about this, the appropriation, you know, that there is this feeling, and then you have this lustful desire regarding that one, and then you wanted to have it, so you get it. Having got it, you examine it, and then you are saying that this one is actually really good for me and sort of thing. And having got that one, you take that particular thing, and then there is this appropriation. Because of the appropriation, that there is this machariya or stinginess occurring. This occurs because of the appropriation of the external objects. Whatever the external objects, that without a permission from that person, I am actually looking at somebody's body, for example. Without a permission, I would go for certain things that regarding these things as mine. And so that leads to my making, and then it becomes pleasurable. So again, you can see there is a part from wave here. And so when I get the stinginess that I am, I will protect it as well. And again, you can see that the on the other side, there's this disparaging. You can see, since I am stingy, that I want these things. And what is disparaging? Disparaging is that, let's say, someone low-born, and then he sees someone high-born, and so he is making that I am the same as the other person, right? So my thinking. So you are disparaging the other person. So this stinginess and disparaging, they are connected from that bottom line over there. And also, so these are the four main things. That is envy, the stinginess, the derogation, and disparaging others. Now, bottom line means the barb of hate, the stinginess, the barb of views, the tea, and then the disparaging. They are going through that connection. There is a connection. Because that because of the stinginess that you want to protect. If someone is going to take your property, you are happy to take the gun or the knife or whatever thing it is to protect it. So there is this hate. And why do you go in that way, and you can do any evil action here when it is happening? Because there is this view. I am clinging to this property is mine. I have a perception. This fence is mine. This house is mine. This body is mine. So this could be completely regarding your body. This person is trying to harm me. It's my body he is trying to harm, right? I am going to protect my body. So you can see the connection over here. So that those things lead to disparaging others. It's a bit difficult to understand over there. It's a bit lengthy because there's consciousness involved. Now we go back to this the other parts. Now remember that we were talking about this abhijja, the discussion over here with the starting with the abhijja and the ill will. 1 and 2. The abhijja and ill will again lead to this anga no maya. Remember we discussed little while ago that if you have those two, that is I am actually holding to something, and then I don't want to others to, I have done something wrong, I don't want to others to know about this one. And then there is this, the hate lead to anger, kodo. Bab of hate leads to anger, and then the hostility. The anger comes first, the hostility second. So this particular person is harming me. That's how one would think. This person has harmed me. He is going to harm me. Or is this person has harmed my friends, my relatives? So you can see this one is, you know, go back to the bottom of the third column, the barb of views, the tisala, that, you know, it is me he is going to harm, and I'm going back to the hate. So you can see very close loop. That's why people get angry very quickly and fight, because this connection is so strong over here. It is me, you know, he's going to harm. So I go with the anger. So then, having got this anger, then I have the hostility regarding that person. That is that upanaho. And this is the person who harmed me. This is the person who is going to harm me. You know, that is already made up in my mind. When I see him, I don't think twice that this is the bad person. Right there. Now we go back to I have written four lines, line 1, line 2, line 3 and line 4, right? If you have a pen, you can write down on the top of the line 1, where it is, if the line one, this one is strong, that means you feel inferior. If the line one is strong, then you get the view of inferior. What is line one is holding to? The nutriment, food, right? Take an example of a beggar. Beggar does not have food, so he's begging for food. Now, he's thinking, he's holding to the food, and he's thinking, I'm inferior, I'm a beggar, I don't have, you know, this sort of thing. So you get the inferior things. This is how arahants think. And if you are very strong in the line two, that means you get the view that you are equal. Virtue. I have the virtue. The divine beings has got the virtue. I'm equal to divine beings. Right?
So you make yourself equal to the superiors.
Superiors. And so that's become, you get the equality. This is the conceit. I'm telling you, I have no idea of explaining this one unless that arahant told me these things.
It's only if you know that, isn't it? Sometimes people do the virtue, those things, meritorious things, not knowing that you will be...
Oh, yeah, that is for the purpose of attaining Nibbana.
Oh.
So they are not going through this, we are not talking about them over here. That virtue, you got to have the virtue for attainment of Nibbana, everybody got to have the virtue, right? That's my virtue is not for being born in the, whatever the realms. Not for achieving, things. It is completely for the attainment of Nibbana, it is pure. So, Yeah, you are thinking that they are being born over there because of the virtue. I do also have the virtue, but you are not making them equal. This is the problem. This is the conceit. By thinking this way, we are making it equal. By making it equal, you are getting into the trouble. It's a very wrong, and by doing that one, you can expect that you have the wrong views the generating from your mind, because you are going through the fourth path. Here, fourth path is the ignorance path.
But it's bitter hard to think that how one makes oneself equal by doing virtue, meritorious things.
This person is, why do he actually practicing virtue for? He is practicing virtue for, this is good now, I want to be better in the future. I want to be born in such and such realm. I want to be like a king in the next birth or something like that one. So therefore, having practiced that one, he is holding it.
In future, I will be equal to
that. Equal to that, yes.
So they're not equal. Is it right that in one of the suttas that the Buddha says, if you see a being in a terrible, lowly, miserable state, you can think, oh, I've done that many times before. And if you see a being in an exalted state, do you think the same thing?
Yeah, that is for the purpose of attaining Nibbana, that you are actually thinking that, I have done these things. So if you rather than making it equal or making it, the low or high or whatever thing it is, that you are actually removing or clinging to the same thing. This is, I don't want to have that one. So you are discarding from your mind any of those states, I don't want it. That's what is that idea, yeah?
What about if you do something virtuous just to help someone, not to achieve Nibbana, not to achieve a better life in the future, but just because someone has to help?
That you are talking about compassion here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
Okay.
If you have the compassion, you are not going through the second line, the second column.
Okay.
Now, if in the line three, you can write down, if you are strong here in the view clinging, that means you feel you are superior. That's how the superiority complex comes in. In the third one, the line three, next to line three, write down that if it is strong, that means you are clinging to views, then you have the superiority complex. So then there is this line four coming from the bottom. Don't need to write down anything over there. So the barb of views lead to this volitional formation. This is how you actually construct sanskara. This is how you construct sanskar, volition. Remember, to have the volition, you got to have the mental volition. The mental volition should be there to have sanskar, volitional formations. Whenever you regard these things as mine, that's when you get the volitional formation. So it's coming from this view clinging, the tibada. Now we discuss four lines here, and then you can see that volitional formations thus constructed will construct the consciousness. Volitional formations is the one constructing all of these things. And it is constructing now the consciousness as the nutriment thing. Now we are going to mix these volitional formations with makko, derogation. So if you move this volitional formation, don't think it is one thing is staying closer at that particular time. It can move up or move down in that column. If you move it towards the makko, the derogation, then your consciousness become, you know, speaking, you know, the name and form, the construction of name and form, your verbal actions, you will be speaking ill things about the other, because you are, remember we discussed Isha, envy, and Nayam, which will now want to take down his good qualities. How come he got that one? He got this job and he is not qualified. No, I'm taking down. So my consciousness is playing that part. My volitional formations are constructing in such a way. So with these bad ones. And if it is close to the disparaging, palaso, then my consciousness takes shape of that bad quality. So then I am actually saying that I am same as the other person, you know, that whatever the qualities he got, I mean, he hasn't got that quality. I am the one, he got that quality, and so there is. And if it is close to this obstinacy, say tambo, is the Pali word. Remember we discussed obstinacy as the mental rigidity.
With this makko, how would you sort of not relate makko to constructive criticism of a person?
That is actually, you are doing that one because of the compassion. You might be doing that one. If you are doing it, correctly doing it, you are actually criticizing that particular thing, is that you have done this sort of thing, it is wrong, and sort of thing, only out of compassion. If you are doing out of compassion, not to harm that person, then it is correct one. Otherwise, you would do because I want to have that gain. And so there is this obstinacy or tambo, that is this mental rigidity. And remember we discussed that in a family, that one person wants something, the other person is thinking that it's harming me and so on. So what happens if the volitional formations is close to this obstinacy? Whatever the consciousness that you construct is so rigid. I'm saying, the other person says, I want this. And the other one says, no, you are not going to have it. You know, it is harming me. So that my anger and all those things play that part. And then I would express that one, this presumption. If it is close to presumption, you can see that I will express in my behavior, my hands and all those things, and then the language, I'm arrogant over here, you know, I'm not going to give up. So it's displaying that part. And then the arrogance, atimana, is that, we little while ago we discussed that it's by birth that I am considering that I am high. And I'm above all of them, right? I put myself high. So it's called excessive conceit as well. And that is where the desire of consciousness for a banner, you know, that I construct this mind in this, in a way, that I am, you know, I am the superior, the complexity. The nice part is that what Sahapati Mahabrahma said, if you cut down line one, what I have written at the bottom of this one, if you cut down line one with the aid of the first jhana, and then we discussed this one some times ago, by going through this first jhana concentration, that you get the mindfulness as regards body, and then you have this Dibba Vihara, so Dhyana Sadhya, and then because of this Dhyana, you would put effort to get rid of the sensual desire and things like that, sensual thoughts, and then you see the first noble truth, the suffering nature. Having seen that one, you would see Satchadhitthana, that there is Nibbana while I am actually suffering over here with the sensual pleasures and things. So then you would feel you have a concentration, Chanda Samadhi, and having that concentration, you would get this. So since the sensual desire is creating this suffering, what's the logical step? Well, to guard my senses, Indriya Samvara, and that leads to Metta Appamana, loving kindness. So how do we get that one? We need to have the Metta Sutta as the meditation object over there, and you go through that one so you can remove most of the things over here, you know, to a certain extent, that certain ones are not going out of that, but the Metta Sutta taking you out from this strong ones in the bottom, you know, because you are not holding to this view. Remember, this last one says, Dittincha Anupadamma Silava Dasanena Sampanam. That means you have the view that I am, you know, the third column, the bottom part, that I am not going to hold. There is no such a thing. And there you have the virtue that, so therefore you are, having seen that one, you are not going back to the Kabalikara Ahara, the nutriment, first one. And Kamisu Vinaya Geta Naijatu Gabbaseyam Punreetiti, there's the you are not going to womb. So because of those things and good qualities like this Angana is gone, you reach the loving kindness, Metta Appramana. So that is, you are cutting down the first line. It's no more working, you know, the second line, the ill will part is no longer there as well. And if you cut down the line 1 and 2 with the aid of second jhana and maintain those illimitable that you just develop, loving kindness, compassion sort of thing, and then you will reach the space is infinite. Buddha said this one in Bhujanga Samhita as well. If you cut down line 1, 2 and 3 with the aid of third jhana, so third jhana is the form. Path, that is the Sukhapatipada Danda Vinya. If you go through that one and you maintain Arya Vihara, that is Bhojanga, or it could be 37 factors of enlightenment, that is enlightenment factors, then you reach the consciousness is infinite. And having reached that one, what he asked me is to remove the clinging to the consciousness thus arose. That is, you can see that the volitional formation is the one that constructing this consciousness. So the first line is gone, second line is gone, and third line is gone. And if you remove those three lines, and then you are reaching this, the consciousness is infinite level, but if you remove the consciousness thus constructed, successively remove that one, whatever it is constructing, then you reach the spaces, the plane of nothing, because the each consciousness parts, consciousness that is constructed is now taking out because you don't have any lust for this volition to construct it anymore. So then there's nothing you reach. You can maintain it. To maintain that one, you need this rest of the discourse about the Buddha. So this is a great Dhamma. I know it is very difficult because when you do meditation, I have been meditating about the envy and the derogation for a week, for example, and then I have been meditating about the stinginess and disparaging part, right, few days, and then the rest, you know, completing it. So each factor you can, you know, maintain. If you take those things out, you can maintain and stay in that whatever the consciousness. The achieving this consciousness is sometimes is not hard. You can reach that one for very, you know, few seconds, few minutes sort of thing. But maintaining for a long time, you need to have this done. So that's the technique. So, Buddha said that knowing monks, covetousness and unrighteous greed to be a defilement of the mind, the monk abandons them. Knowing ill will to be a defilement of the mind, he abandons it. Knowing anger to be a defilement of the mind, he abandons it. The hostility and all those the terms that we just discussed, that he will remove it, abandon it. When in the monk who thus knows that covetousness and unrighteous greed are a defilement of the mind, this covetousness and unrighteous greed have been abandoned. When in him who thus knows that ill will is a defilement of the mind, ill will has been abandoned. When in him who thus knows that negligence is a defilement of the mind, this negligence has been abandoned, he thereupon gains unwavering confidence in Buddha, Shraddha. Thus indeed he is the blessed one. He is accomplished, fully enlightened, endowed with clear vision and conduct, sublime, knower of the world, the incomparable guide of men who are tractable, the teacher of gods, men enlightened and blessed. Remember we discussed this one, this Sekapatipada Sutta, the 52nd discourse as I can remember. So there are these 15 conduct that you need to remember in these things. So you can see that it leads to, when you abandon this one, it leads to this thing, this Dhamma. He gains unwavering confidence in the Dhamma thus well proclaimed by the Blessed One is the Dhamma, realizable here and now, possessed of immediate results, bidding you come and see, accessible and knowable individually by the wise. He gains unwavering confidence in the Sangha, thus the Sangha of the Blessed One's disciple has entered on the good way, he enters on the straight way, has entered on the true way, has entered on the proper way. That is to say, the four pairs of men, the eight types of persons, the Sangha of the Blessed One's disciples is worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offering, worthy of reverential salvation, the incomparable field of merits for the world. So these are the Itipiso Gatha and then the Swakkhato Bhagavata Dhammo and then the Supatipanna, that is Gatha meanings. So when he has given up, renounced, let go, abandoned and relinquished the defilement, in part he knows, I am endowed with unwavering confidence in the Buddha, in the Dhamma, in the Sangha. And he gains enthusiasm for the goal and gains enthusiasm for Dhamma, gains gladness connected with Dhamma. When he is glad, joy is born in him. Being joy is in mind, his body becomes tranquil. His body being tranquil, he feels happiness. And the mind of him who is happy becomes concentrated. So you can see that there is a dependent origination over here. That is because of the Dhamma, we go in a good way. Not that bad, the dependent origination, this is a good one. First, you, when you understand this Dhamma, there is this gladness, pamujjati. Because of the gladness, the joy arises, preeti. Because of the preeti, there is tranquility, tranquility of mind and the tranquility of mental states. And then mind becomes sukha, happy. So then his mind becomes concentrated. If monks are monk of such virtue, such concentration and such wisdom, eats alms food consisting of choice, he'll rise together with various sources and curries, even that will be no obstacle for him. Because he is enjoying this food he is eating, but it's not an obstacle for him because he is not clinging to any of these things. Just as cloth that is stained and dirty become clean and bright with the help of pure water, or just as gold become clean and bright with the help of furnace, so too if a monk of such virtue, such concentration, such wisdom eats alms food consisting of choice, he'll rise together with various curries, even that will be no obstacle for him. He abides, having suffused with mind of loving kindness, one direction of the world, likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth, and so above, below, around and everywhere. And to all, as to him, himself, he abides, suffusing the entire universe with the loving kindness, with a mind grown great, lofty, boundless, and free from enmity and ill. Remember, we discussed this loving kindness, going through the first one. He abides, having suffused with the mind of compassion, then the sympathetic joy, and then equanimity. So these four things, that loving kindness, and the is this metta apamana, is against the first line that we discussed, first column. The compassion is the, if you go through the good path, that is this dukkha-patipada kippa-vinya, and so then you read this compassion, third, and then if the third line, you are going against the third line and go in the correct one, that is with the appreciative joy is the end result of that line. If you go against that one. And if you go against the fourth column, consciousness as nutriment, then the equanimity is the end result. And so he maintaining these things for the entire universe, he is maintaining these four illimitables, boundless and free from enmity and ill. He understands what exists, what is low, what is excellent? Hina, pranita. Hina is that all these things we discuss over here is hina. You know, the low. The pranita is nibbana. There is nothing comparable to it. So he understands these, all these other things are useless. And what escape there, nissarana, is there from this field of perception. When he knows and sees in this way, his mind becomes liberated from the canker of sensual desire, liberated from the canker of becoming. Liberated from the canker of ignorance, the taints. When liberated, there is knowledge, it is liberated, and he knows. Birth exhausted, the life of purity has been lived, the task is done, there is no more of this to come. Such a monk is called one bathed with the inner bathing. Now at that time, the Brahma, Sandarika Bharadvaja, was seated not far from the Blessed One. And he spoke to the Blessed One thus, but does Master Gautama go to the Bahuka River to bathe? No, is this whether he is going to, because he was talking about the bathing. He was asking that question. What good Brahmin is the Bahuka River? What can the Bahuka River do? Truly Master Gautama, many people believe that the Bahuka River gives purifications. Many people believe that the Bahuka River gives merit for in the Bahuka River may people wash away the evil deeds and they have done. Then the Blessed One addressed the Brahmin Sundarika Bharadvaja in these stanzas. Bahuka and Adhika, Gaya and Sundarika, Payaka and Saraswati, that means those are the river. And the stream, Bahumati. A fool may they are forever bathe. He's going and having, you know, bathing inside that one. Yet will not purify his black deeds. What can Sundarika bring to pass? What can Payaga or Bahuka? They cannot purify an evildoer, a man performing brutal and cruel acts. One pure is in heart, has evermore the fierce feast of cleansing and the holy day. One pure in heart who does good deeds, has his observances, perfect for all time. It is here, O Brahman, that you should bathe to make yourself a safe refuge for all beings. And if you speak no truth, no work any harm for breathing things, no take what is not offered with faith and with no avarice, to Gaya go on, what would it do for you? Let any well your Gaya be. When this was said, the Brahmin Sundarika Bharadvaja spoke thus, Magnificent Master Gautama, the Dhamma has been made clear in many ways by Master Gautama. As though he were writing the overthrown, revealing the hidden, shown the way to one who is lost, or holding up a lamp in dark for those with eyesight to see forms, I go to Master Gautama for refuge, and to the Dhamma and to the Sangha, may I receive the first ordination. Going forth unto Master Gautama, may I receive the full admission. And the Brahmin Sundarika Bharadvaja received this going forth under the Blessed One, and he received full admission, and not long after his full admission, dwelling alone, secluded, diligent, ardent, and resolute, the Venerable Bharadvaja, by his own realization, understood and attained in this very life that supreme goal of pure life for which men of good family go forth from home life into homeless. And he had direct knowledge, thus birth is exhausted, the pure life has been lived, the task is done, there is no more of this to come. So, in and the Venerable Bharadwaja became one of the Arahants. So, to maintain this concentrations as a horizon, you would need to have this satta, because this the purification, bojjhanga and all those things cannot be maintained if you don't have Shraddha. Because this Charna Dhamma, remember that the one of the Dhamma is this in Seka Patipada Sutta, there are 15 Dhamma paths, and the first one is this consummating virtue. There is the case where the disciple of the Noble One is virtuous. He was restrained in accordance with the party mokka, so he got the virtue. Consummate in his behavior and sphere of activity, he trains himself, having undertaken the training rules, seeing danger in the slightest fault. This is how disciple of the Noble One is consummating virtue. And how does the disciple of the Noble One guard the doors of his sense faculties? There is the case where the disciple of the Noble One, on seeing a form with the eye, doesn't grasp at any theme or variations by which, if he were to dwell without restraint over the faculty of the eye, evil unskilled qualities such as greed and distress might assail him. So you can see the abhijja that we discussed, those things can come if I don't guard. So Buddha set up at the beginning, you got to have this, so you are not going through in the first line over here, the wrong path. And so then you go into moderating eating, and then you go in this maintain faith, the shame of doing bad things, and mindfulness, wisdom, all those things sort of maintain. So that's the way to not to fall from having reached those levels. And you can see it is so complicated. So these defilements are actually creating quite a lot of problems. A meditator who is meditating and trying to maintain his status, because of these defilements, superclation, it takes him down. And to be honest, I was not focusing on these things that much at the beginning. I wanted to have wisdom, so I was going after it very strongly. And because of that desires, you can go as well, because the wisdom is the most valuable thing for me. But I know that maintaining the concentration is a different thing. If you want to, they say, if I want to come to this temple, I can come quickly in that those steps, timing very quickly. You know, a small child would run, right? But if you ask someone to stay in step one, now you go to step two, or you come back to step one, like that, and you're jumping and, you know, you're working. Well, you need this time to get out of the defilements. Those, because the defilements ones are the ones that take it down without knowing, because you do not know they are there.
Unless you meditate, you don't realize that they are there.
Yes, that's right.
Even you to meditate, you should know the linkage and all sort of, because I can remember that I have read, listened to one of the Dharma, it says there are four nutriments, and that is one to give nutriments to the person who is living, being who is living, and those are also related to the next birth or what is the. Now, it is, by listening to this one, it is understood that it is more than that. It is concise, it is summary of what is happening, but a lot of things behind that story.
It's happening over here, yeah. In the meditation, you can see that you are actually making yourself equal to certain levels, right? Therefore, there is this conceit, and then you are falling because of that one as well. And so this, you can see the obstinacy and all those things, and sometimes this mind is there. And you see that you first get rid of these bad ones. Having got rid of the bad ones, if you go through the loving kindness and maintain the loving kindness, and then you come to this compassion level and over here, then there is this another clinging. It's called Aswadi Indriya. Because of the jhana, concentration, has the rapture and all those happiness, you would be now holding to that. And because of that one, the restlessness would occur. Not the worry, the restlessness. So again, you are in the third line over here. Although you are thinking, I am out of this misery, you are not out of that misery. Because you are now holding to your jhana. And that leads to the restlessness. Because am I contemplating about the Eightfold Path? Or am I staying in this so pleasurable concentration, the loving kindness, the compassion? I can maintain it for a long time and I'm happy. Would I be staying here with this one? Or should I be contemplating about the impermanent nature and achieve Nibbana? So you can see the conflicting things occurring in the high level as well. So that is why Uddhacha is for the restlessness. You get rid of when you become an arahant. Even a never return can't get rid of it. It's that strong. So we are not going out of this thing. Only an arahant would not go through any of these things. Anybody else, whether you are a once returner, the stream mentor or never returner, you go to a certain extent in these four paths. So this is our path. This is where we are actually roaming and, you know, going. And there's these loops over here. You go through in one part over here, and if you go from left to the right, and you can, as I said, you can go any of these things, right? I can be any place, and so if you have the knowledge about the vijnana sthiti, you know, then you know that my mind is over here, or my mind is over here, you can determine in the meditation time. For a normal person, he does not know, because it is linked from here to here, going back, this loop. And there are other links in between as well. So there is this way of looking at this one, you know, that you normally, a lustful mind would look at like this, in the sense that you see this, starting from the nutriment, food, and I have the feelings, I have volitions, I actually see this branch over here going to that one. So there are ways that we look at this way as well. The consciousness as the root over here. So there are various paths, so complicated. Although I have written very few mental components here, there are 41 Dhamma paths here, then another 27. So 40 plus 27 working, you can see you are jumping from one hoop to another. And certain loops are very short. That's why you are angry and you keep on angry, and you have a lust and very strongly working. Sometimes your views, you are arguing and arguing and arguing. And at the end of the day, you know, what was I arguing about? You know, because it's very short circles. And the long circles, because it's hard to go through the path again and again, you sort of come out of it. Short ones, very difficult. Okay. We will stop for today. Yeah.